Welcome in to In-Game Chat for Saturday, September 28th, 2024. It is Season 18 and Episode number 33. There you go. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
Welcome in. Where did I put this? Right over here. There's too much stuff on my desk over here. Just stuff in the way. Welcome to the show, everybody. If you want to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. The Discord is a-working. The Twitch chat room is a-chatting. So join us in any of those, or send us a message on Twitter at ingamechat. You can talk to us on Facebook there as well. You can email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. Streaming right now on Twitch, go to twitch.tv and watch the show. Hi, everybody on Twitch. Live while we broadcast. This will also be on YouTube tomorrow. Hi, everybody on YouTube that's watching. But you can find us there and join us in the chat room live while we broadcast. And broadcast we shall. I missed some stuff in the chat room here. What we got? There's Josh, hanging out.
Yeah, we got a conversation going on
AC
already.
AC Wraith, hey, I heard the other day the budget for that game, Congress, $400 million. You're exactly right. $400 yeah. million for Concord. Which is, Thar says the same thing. I think maybe it makes a comeback in a few months for you play. Yeah. Absolutely agree. I don't think you spend $400 million on a game and then
give up completely on it.
Pull it
like
off
that.
And yeah. say nothing. Yeah, we're
done.
I mean,
done. Wasn't it like a $200 million invested with someone else, and then Sony took over and added another $200 million to funding.
I didn't read the article, but I don't doubt that.
Yeah, but either way, that's a lot of money dumped on a game, developing a game to have that type of result.
In what, less than a month of release?
Yeah. I don't think it was that. Was it?
Well, I mean, it wasn't. It was less
days?
Than a month. Yeah, it 11, wasn't very long.
Yeah, about 2 weeks. 2 weeks at most, I think. But
yeah,
not a good look.
That's why, yeah. That's why I think it'll come back as something that is either free to play or something.
Yeah.
The odd thing is, well, they gave refunds to everybody, so that's one thing. So they can come back as a free to play since they've refunded everybody's money.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to come back free to play and not do anything for those people that bought your game, you would have a class action suit almost.
I was about to say pitchforks and torches
guaranteed
in California somewhere. Yeah.
In that regard, I would think if you were to try and get away with that. So I don't think that's going to happen. I think it will come back as a free to play. And I honestly feel like everybody outside of it being pulled completely where it never returns again. And again, I say $400 million says you don't do that. That it'll come back as a free-to-play title.
Yeah, but the thing I think about with that is...
Or so it'll return in some way or another.
I mean, return, yeah, but I'm thinking what... of course, I think the top thing, character design, is what they're going to change, because that was a hot-button topic about that game.
I have no idea.
Yeah, the really... What I gathered, it was a really bad character design.
Are you talking about the mechanics of the characters, like the roles they play?
Bad character design. is what I
just keep, design keep of a character.
Design of the character,
or do you mean the mechanics
about.
Of a way
no,
of a character?
I'm literally saying the design of the character was one of the things that was talked about.
How
a
many?
Lot
but there was like a lot of different characters in it, though. Yes. Is there a specific one or all of them?
I'm trying to remember the name. I think the one that was talked about a lot, the robot, the one that looked like a trash can.
Honestly, really? I don't remember. I remember the state of play or whatever Sony did where they opened with it. And it was all CG. It was all whatever. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what it was. Was getting Borderlands feelings, obviously, from it. But I didn't know what it was. And I saw the CG, the whatever trailer for it. Didn't see any gameplay, but it kind of came across as what it is. Mm-hmm. And as soon as that came across, brain turned off, and I was like, not interested. Because I was not interested in what they were selling. Had nothing to do with designs or anything like that. Just gameplay-wise, not my cup of tea, so I tuned it out.
Yeah, I looked at it, and I saw, Overwatch. And I just left it from there. But that was one of the things that I kept hearing about.
Josh says a lot of character designs were very... They were choices for sure, is what he says.
Yeah, so. Yeah, that was one of the, like I said, that was one of the things I heard talking about. Didn't hear much about the gameplay other than, but like I said, I just looked at the gameplay and I thought, okay, Overwatch. But Overwatch is not something I'm into, so I just left it alone. And
that's exactly, that's the same feeling I got when I saw the trailer of like, okay, this is a multiplayer shooter looter thing going on, like an Overwatch.
Hero shooter clone.
This is not me, and I turned my brain off. It's like, I'll wait for the next trailer to come around, because whatever this is to open the show, not me.
Yeah,
it might succeed, it might fail, but I don't actually care, so move on.
Is that typically the thing, is like you got about 5 seconds to catch my interest, and if you don't do that,
not necessarily. No, not necessarily. You have until you show me gameplay, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like you can show me stuff all day, but I need to see the gameplay of it before I make a decision. I mean, or at least get an idea of what kind of game you are. So a trailer like Concord doesn't do anything for me until it is conveyed in some way, be it through the trailer, through gameplay shown, something that tells me what type of game it is. Doesn't matter. And when I say what type, I don't necessarily mean what is your gameplay mechanic? What is it? Is it a looter shooter? Is that what you're getting across? Is it a hero shooter, like you said? Is this a squad-based solo game, you know, team tactic game or something? What is it? What are you? Once I figure out what you are, that's when it settles in, because I can, you know, you can... God, what am I trying to think of? You can show me... CG, the what is that thing coming up? Secret Level, that anthology thing that's coming up with the guys from Blur Studio or whatever it is. You can show me pretty things all day. You can spend 3 hours at a game showcase showing off trailer after trailer of CG, CG, CG. And if it's original and not like a sequel to a Batman game, which is already established, this is what it is. You know what I mean? Like, if it's a sequel and you give me another trailer of Borderlands 4, I know what you are. Gameplay shown or not, I know what you are.
Yeah, I know what I'm in for. Yeah.
Right, exactly. But original IP, you can show me CG stuff all day. And I am not hooked until you give me gameplay of whatever it is you're showing me. Then I decide, am I interested in finding out more, or is this not going to be my thing? You know? And sometimes it's not instant. You know, I mean, I know where my, I don't want to say my loyalties lie, but I know what I like. And there are certain games that are complete, like, nope, that's not me. You know, Overwatch is one of those. What's the other ones? The PUBG format, Battle Royale style stuff.
Yeah.
Not me. Sports games ain't going to work. You know, new Madden trailer ain't going to do it for me. FIFA is never going to do it. MLB The Show is not going to do it for me.
Yeah.
So those things are almost immediate turnoffs. But it can be something, especially in the indie side of things. They can show off, maybe not a CG trailer, but an animated trailer, something. They can show something off and be kind of vague about what type of game they are. And I'll be like, all right, let me see what this is. Or they can show me gameplay and I'll still kind of look at it and think, yeah, I'm you know, it's not an instant, this isn't me or this is me. It's more of a, I need to see more.
Yeah.
You've hooked me. Show me more, and then to make a better decision about, you know, if I'm going to like you or not. But one of the best things that we do during the E3 months or whatever.
Yeah. State of play, E3,
State of play,
like
all
that,
those things.
All that stuff,
one of the best things you get out of those are demos that release. Because I remember during the Summer Games Fest or whatever, I just downloaded a ton of demos on Steam and got to play those because I was, hey, that may be interesting. I can actually play you for free and find out.
Mm-hmm.
More games need to do demos. I would say that. More games need demos for people to try before you buy type of thing. But... Yeah,
I'm all for that. Try before you buy.
Yeah, for me, I need gameplay before I make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's spelled out for me in a trailer as to what type of game you are, for me to make that decision. And there are certain games where it's immediately nope, and then there's certain games where it's a yes or a I'll wait and see. Mm-hmm. So, but your survival shooters and looter shooter things, whatever Concord was showing itself to be, was immediate, not interested.
Yeah,
keep moving. Bring the next game out. So, but that's my thing. 400 million though, that game's coming back. That's the interesting thing about that is the deed has been done. You released, you failed
quick.
And if you come back free to play, I don't necessarily know that it's going to draw people in outside of a curiosity of this game that was so bad. They pulled it and gave refunds within 2 weeks of its release.
I don't know about the game being
would last like a week at a week long for people to get that and then done with it.
I don't know if the game was bad. Like I said, they're talking about design, but the reception of it was so bad that they snatched it.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't even know if it was a perception. Obviously, it wasn't selling well.
Yeah.
that was bad.
That was a bad one.
What else do we have?
There were a number of games that had like really really bad outings. Dustborn comes to mind. That one.
God, what is that one? I'm drawing a blank.
That was the cel shaded band going across the country, and it was like a story driven narrative type game, but it had like numerous bad reviews when it came out.
Not familiar. That's how bad it was, is that I'm not remembering it at all. What do we say? Josh says, in gaming news, I grabbed Witchfire and gave that a try. It's fun so far. Another good reason for demos is see how well the game actually runs on your rig. That's another good thing about demos. Although usually in demos, they're not giving you the full access of abilities that the game can pull off. You're getting a very small thing, and usually when you go into, depending on the demo, usually when you go into change the settings, you're limited as to what you can do. We'll see what happens with Concord when it makes its return at some point. That's another thing. What are you changing?
And what are you going to do for a re-release? Your second attempt at releasing the game again.
That's a good question. Like, they probably have data out the ears telling them, here's what people enjoyed, here's what people didn't enjoy. You know, they probably have some sort of idea of what to change. But given that it wasn't out there for very long, how do you know that that's the right thing to change? I mean, it may be the thing to change, but there may be more that needs changing as well.
Mm-hmm.
You may fix that, put it back out there, and people are like, you fix this, but this other part's just bad, broken, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Got to fix this too. So I don't know. Maybe it was a massive amount of feedback, and it's just going to be gone for a while. That's another thing, and it's for the marketing people to answer. But how long do you stay away before you come back?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, you stay away until you've done the changes you want to do.
Yeah.
And if those changes take 1 month, do you return in a month or do you hold off? Do you let the noise die down?
Is it like a new release? Do you want to compete with this thing or this other thing coming out soon?
That's another thing. Do you look for a hole in a release window to say, this is where we make our return? We put it right here.
Where's the dead zone in releases before we can put this out there?
Dead zone, but in a good place to put a release type of thing. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because
we've seen issues of terrible choices in release dates. before. Yeah,
I'm expecting, by the way, I'm expecting something to change in the month of February next year. We've sort of hit that thing again where February is just stacked with releases.
Mm-hmm.
And moving Assassin's Creed Shadows to February mm-hmm. as a release now puts it in the same realm of, oh God, I can't remember. There's I'd have to look up, but yeah, February 2025 video. Let's see, February 2025 video game releases. This, oh, Google, you know me. But of course you would. Ah, boy. Civilization.
Being tracked. Of course it is.
Yeah. Civilization 7. Kingdom Come. Deliverance 2. What else?
Avowed.
Avowed is another one.
Monster Hunter Wilds.
Like a Dragon.
Okay.
Pirate Yakuza in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Assassin's Creed Shadows. So there is a lot that is coming out in February. Now more so because
I'm trying to see if there's anything with a similar gameplay style. Would it be
gameplay style is what?
As Assassin's Creed Shadows game similar to, you know,
I don't think so. Come
Deliverance 2? I don't know.
I don't I don't think Avowed is going to be it. Yeah, Avowed is a first person.
Okay, first person. Okay.
Yeah, and that's Obsidian, I believe. No, yeah, that's Obsidian.
Okay.
That's an action RPG, whereas action, yeah, there's nothing really that's similar in the release.
Mm-hmm.
But Monster Hunter Wilds is a massive, Monster Hunter's a massive franchise.
Yeah.
I could say the same about Assassin's Creed, but compared to Monster Hunter, I think Monster Hunter is a bigger franchise. Like a Dragon, I think, is a bigger franchise, given
Yakuza.
Yeah, good God. Civ 7 goes without saying.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got Kingdom Come Deliverance 2. That could be a standout to, like, yeah, don't really know. It's probably going to be fine. And then Avowed is just a completely different type of game than Assassin's Creed Shadows.
Mm-hmm.
I think Assassin's Creed Shadows will be fine in that location. I think they'll be okay in that release date. They're not necessarily similar to any of the other games that's being released. Nor are any of the other games being released, except for maybe Kingdom Come Deliverance and Avowed. You might have some overlap there, some competition mm-hmm. there. I don't see anything that is standing in the way of Like a Dragon. Hmm. That... I don't know how they make these games. Sometimes I feel like they just... They go get high, and then they decide to come up with some ideas of, like, what are we going to put in these games.
Look, movies. There are some movies like that, too. Got in the meeting room. And
we've talked about that. There's been movies that have been completely made on cocaine binges.
Yeah, sometimes it works.
I mean, yeah, God.
I bet you come up with an original idea that way, so yeah.
Sometimes. Sometimes. And then sometimes you get really crap. Really crap movies,
or so bad it turns into a cult classic.
Yeah, now there's that. You have the opportunity, you have the chance for that to happen. Yeah, I don't know. They moved Avowed because it was too crowded, and then when they moved it February. Now February is crowded. I can't remember when Avowed was originally supposed to release. Feels like they should have kept it wherever it was to begin with. Anyway, we haven't even gotten into what we've played. We haven't gotten into anything just yet. So we're going to drop into that after we get done with this first commercial break here. We're going to...
Fall of 2024.
Fall of 20... Really?
Originally, during the January Xbox Developer Direct, we learned that Avowed was scheduled to be released in the fall of 2024. But that window was later pushed and confirmed it would be released on February 18th, 2025.
Wow. Well, I mean, it probably still needed them time to work on it, but it's in a busy, busy section in February now. Avowed and Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 are the only two that I see as sharing an audience.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see those same groups of people. Well, yes, they probably enjoy Assassin's Creed. I just, in that realm, I just don't see that as being a competition for them. Mm-hmm. That, you know, probably doesn't matter. It's probably the publishers and the marketing saying, like, we got to move again. We can't work in that crowded section there. So, mm-hmm. If you're wondering if I'm stalling, you'd be absolutely correct. I apparently did not send over the music for this week.
Hmm.
Yeah, because that's showing me stuff I've already done. But we're going to fix that real quick.
Go.
Oh, yeah, no, I have. That's weird, man, because I know that I sent that over. Anyway.
I just blame the equipment. It's older than we are.
It is moving on now.
Mm-hmm. It's at the point where it works when it feels like it.
Early in the week, God knows. I think we had a power outage here.
Yeah, we did have rain this over the weekend, didn't we? Yeah, a lot of rain over the weekend. Yeah.
Well, you know, oddly enough, during the big whatever, nothing happened then. It was the day before the hurricane, you know, touched down or had landfall. Mm-hmm. We had a little power flicker here and lost power. So I'm going to wait for this thing to fill up here to make sure we are good to go. And it looks like we probably are. Recue this. There we go. Mm-hmm. Got our music back. It's all new music this time. It's our you know, our more recent week of music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're doing the spooky stuff next week, right?
Next week is spooky music. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, this, oddly enough, it turns out I got a lot of chill tracks for this one, just because of the way games lined up. A lot of cozy games, a lot of chill soundtracks. This is a game called Simpler Times, which is a very chill-type game. This is called Snowflakes, and we'll be back with more of in-game chat. We'll talk about what we played right after this, coming up. Helps turn the mics on. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. This is music from Metal Slug Attack Reloaded. Mm. Title screen for that. Welcome back into the show. We haven't really talked about what we've played, so RJ, I will throw it to you, bud. What have you been playing this week?
Pretty much more of the same, but I've spent a little time with MLB The Show and The First Ascendant, still playing some exploration, really. Got to a new area in The First Ascendant, got to the desert area, so things are starting to get, the missions are starting to get really difficult. Hard to do solo, much like, more likely just having to jump onto a random player's mission and join in that and just happen to clear missions out that way.
Right.
As opposed to doing it solo, which makes things really difficult, especially in this area that I'm in now. But, you know, play with some friends online and get together and do something like that. We could probably steamroll that area and go to the next one, see how far we can get with that.
How many can you play with online together in a group or whatever?
I want to say 3 to 4.
Okay.
I want to say around that amount of players.
Three counting yourself or?
Three counting myself or four counting myself. Three or four max.
Gotcha.
I'm thinking. So far, in my experience. But other than that, for some reason, I just had the desire to play Mutant Football League. There was an update.
There was an update to Mutant Football League?
Yeah, so...
How old is that game?
2016, 2017, okay. I think. No new teams, but I think they updated the roster. Because the Mile High Chronic, which is the parody of the Denver Broncos, is quarterbacked by... Bro Fix. Instead
okay.
of Bo Nix.
Oh,
the starter,
it's Bro so Fix.
Not Bro Fix. they gave him the skeleton model. So yeah, that's the quarterback for the Mile High Chronic. So yeah, it was basically a roster update. So there's more different names, different players in there than there was back in 2016.
Did you ever play Blood Bowl?
No, I did not.
Blood Bowl.
No, yeah. I didn't play that.
Okay.
But yeah. But the only thing I played was the original Mutant League Football from EA. Back
yeah.
In the day.
No. Yeah. That goes back a ways.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I haven't heard that in a while.
Yeah.
Any other games you dipped into?
No, that's pretty much it. But I did discover some things playing it because you know how the game has hazards on the field,
mm-hmm.
right? So yeah. So quicksand. Landmines, sandworms, especially if you're playing in the Arizona's home field, which
right.
is basically a desert. So you got those dune-like sandworms coming up and eating players and taking them off the field. Well, I played a game at Tampa Bay's stadium, you know, a parody of Raymond James Stadium.
Yeah.
And you know that there's anyone familiar with it, there's a pirate ship.
In
the back. Yeah,
yeah.
With cannons, right?
Yeah.
That goes off when someone scores a touchdown. Well, in this version
I saw that
of the
WrestleMania.
Game, yeah. Well, in this version of the game, there are cannons pointed
at the field.
On the field.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
every
yeah.
now and then you hear a cannon go off. And I thought it was just going to be some background noise, right?
No.
There's a flaming cannonball flying down the field towards you, and it goes off. I think I want to say like every two plays,
just
all of a sudden, cannonball. So while you're trying to run your route or get away from a defender, you could like either you take this hit or you take this cannonball in the face and probably lose your player permanently.
God, I haven't played Mutant League in forever,
man. I don't necessarily know that I've ever actually played Mutant League, but I've seen it, watched it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a nice little touch having Tim Kitzrow, the announcer from NBA Jam back in the day doing the commentary.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Which in this game is called Grim Blitzrow. So, you get that little pun with all the players in there.
It's interesting that he's on Mutant League Football because, like, well, wasn't the opposite of NBA Jam, wasn't it NFL Blitz?
Yeah, something like that. NBA, NFL Blitz.
Because it was Midway, and they did NBA Jam, then they did NFL Blitz.
NFL Blitz, MLB Slugfest.
Mm-hmm.
Did they do one for soccer? I'm not sure.
Probably not.
I don't know, but yeah. But that type of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he came back for the remake of NBA Jam on PS3, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was that was good times, man.
Yeah, it
good,
was.
Good old fashioned arcade style gaming. It was a fun experience.
I don't know if you know or not, but Balatro is now on phones.
Phones now, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't looked it up, actually, and I'm going to do that now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Search What is this? I'm about to hit cancel because you're taking forever to load. No. Okay, thank you. Search. Balatra. Man. They would just want to throw things at me.
Ads?
Yeah, I guess Apple or whatever. Yeah. There it is. It's $10 on iPhone.
I can't remember how much it was on Steam. What was it, 15?
15.
Yeah, I thought it was 15.
It was on sale the first week for like 12 or 13.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I grabbed it. But, you know, $15, it was absolutely worth it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's getting a lot of good reviews, obviously. I mean, it's 5,700 ratings, and they've got a 5-star review. So.
Same game, different format. So, yeah, it was good when it was
I think it's absolutely
created, so, yeah.
Fine. But, yeah, it does seem to be played in landscape mode,
mm-hmm.
which seems to be the
preferred view.
It would be the way you would have to play this. But there it is, Balatro, or Balatro, as we once called it. But, yeah, it is out on mobile now. So.
Cool. Discover any new Jokers since the last time you played?
I haven't played. Mm-hmm. You know, I just haven't played. Other than the Joker that we found out about through, you know, giving the little hint.
Misprint.
Yeah, misprint. Finding out that there's a little hint. I have actually not dipped back into Balatro at all. I still have it now. I've uninstalled a bunch of games on my system that I've installed, played a little bit of. In fact, recently I uninstalled Baldur's Gate 3. Because I just haven't played that in forever, so I went ahead and took it off. You know, I deleted Destiny, took that off. But Balatro I've kept on there. It's small enough. It's a quick little, hey, I'm going to play it type thing. It's just like, fine, I could leave that on there. So, as far as what I played, Snap, of course, doing the Snap thing. Frostpunk.
Yeah, you got your video on the Twitch page, yeah.
Yes, I did, because I finally figured out how to play that. And yeah, it's. I said this when I was playing the game on Sunday. I was going through it and finally got through the tutorial, and it was the prologue. I failed the prologue, my original playthrough of it.
Mm.
I absolutely failed the prologue. I can't remember what I did to get past the prologue on my second playthrough, but I hit continue. Even though I had failed, I hit continue. It took me back to some point in the game, was able to get through that, and then the game sort of opened up proper to me with what I had to do. And it was once you got past that prologue and the game sort of opened up to you, that's when I started discovering more about how everything worked, discovering about what to use and what to place and how things worked and how to use the democracy system and the voting system that they have, because you've got a bunch of people living in your city who all have formed factions, different factions, and certain amount of factions or certain factions say, you know, this is what we want implemented for the city. And other factions are like, yeah, we're not too keen on that. We want this, that sort of thing. And you have to go through a whole vote. There's a whole thing you have to do. And it's, I really, really love that aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
In doing this and in playing this, and Josh was there watching me the entire time too, it was sort of when it got to the end of it, or at least when it got to the end of my play session, where I decided this is going to be the end of my play session, I started realizing that it was doing the old Civilization trick of, let me just do this one more thing and then I'll stop, you know? Because some of these things are set on timers. So like when you initiate a vote, then you have a certain amount of time before you can do another vote. Meanwhile, you can do all these other things. And when you start them, there's a small timer that goes through for those things to be constructed and built and to start taking shape. Yeah. And you're just like, well, let me go ahead and place this and let it build. And then, okay, I'm good. That's great. Oh, here's something else I can do now. It's just this, let me do one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you do that one more thing and you're like, all right, well, I did that. Let me just do this real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, let me do it. And you just keep stacking those up. And soon the clock has moved many, many hands. And you're like, whoa, well, what happened? Yeah. Where did those 3 hours go? So, yes, it absolutely hooked me into that with the one more turn loop. And that is exactly what Frostpunk does. So, yeah, that was enjoyable. What else did I play? I feel like I played something else, and I'm having...
Let me go. Any pinball?
I did not play any pinball. I've reached out for another key for some... I think it's pinball M tables. So I'm waiting for that to see if that comes through or anything. They've got a new pinball M table that is releasing in October. Looks like it started as maybe a Friday the 13th table. It takes place at a camp, you know. It's got Friday the 13th vibes going on.
Yeah, I was about to say, is there a lake involved?
Right. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. It sort of looks like maybe they themed it that way and didn't get the license, so they switched everything around so they could still publish it, or they created something in the hopes that they were going to get a license and they didn't. So I'm not sure, but. Yeah. It's a slasher camp thing, or themed table that'll be coming out in October. Bama Bryan says, anybody try Astrobot? I have not, although I do want to, and that's probably for me going to be a Black Friday type game, depending on price that it's going to be knocked down to. But it is on my list to play. I really do want to play Astrobot. What else did I play? I played more Burnout 3. Takedown on the emulator on my PC, and I have been playing and going through, and apparently I am doing this. I am playing through Burnout Revenge all over again because it's just so much fun to do, and I am playing through it all over again. Burning laps and all, which I hated. I do not like being timed on my, you know, I've got to get just the best possible route.
Yep.
You've got to have just the perfect run to get those times on it. I'm going to swear for a minute there. I hate it. And if I could find a cheat code that just completed all of those so I don't ever have to mess with them, I would be more than okay with it.
Yeah.
Because I do not want to do those again. Every time they come up, I just let out a big sigh and I'm like, all right, let's do it.
So, I get where you're coming from with those, because I remember having to go through that same type of thing, time trials, things like that. You get like 5 seconds from the finish line, and then something bumps you at the end, and then you lose time, and then you can't, and then you fail by like a hundredth of a second.
I can tell when I'm gonna. I mean, with Burnout, I can tell. I can look at the clock. I can see where I'm at.
Yeah.
You know, you get on a nice straightaway before you get to the finish. You can glance and see how far you are. Mm-hmm. And of course, they make a countdown sound when you're about to drop from gold to silver.
Yeah.
And when that countdown sound hits, you know, I can take a quick glance to see where I'm at and say, you know what, there's no way I'm making this in 10 seconds.
So let's hit pause, start
pause,
over.
Retry, yeah. Start it over.
Yeah,
I ain't gonna go through with the animation of all the crap I got to go through for getting second. I need to back it up, come in first, and just do it over and over again until I get it done.
Yeah,
the best part about that is that burning laps are, you know, it's a one lap thing. Yeah. It's the fastest time on a lap, which usually means it's going to take me a minute 20. A minute 30, whatever the time is on it, to get this done. So it's real quick.
Yeah.
It's not like, and I'll give you another example, the Grand Prix, which is a set of three races. If I can get first in the first two, then I'm usually okay with wherever I place in the third.
Usually.
And first or second really needs, you need to be... No worse than second on that third
best
one.
Scenario, first and all three, and be done with it. Yeah.
To get what you need. However, there's another aspect to Burnout Revenge, and that is their rating system. As you're driving and doing different things, you are getting graded on, like, hey, you did really good on that drift. You did really good on boosting, just constant boosting. You did really great on near misses or driving in oncoming traffic, you know. You did all these things are great. And as you do these things longer and longer and longer, they build up this ranking. Ranking is when you finish an event, the rank that you get is how many stars you get. So if I get awesome, which is 4 stars,
and I get first place, that awesome then becomes perfect, which is 5 stars. Mm-hmm. And that's what you want. You want a perfect on every single thing you do, or at least that's what I want on every single thing I do. I don't need to be awesome or whatever on those first two Grand Prix races, but on that final one, I gotta be first. I gotta be, my rank needs to be at least the awesome level.
Yeah.
For it to matter, because I found this out, because if you get something, there's okay, there's good, there's great, there's awesome. If you get any of those other than awesome, it only gives you 4 stars or just 3 stars when you finished, and that's not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be a perfect thing. The problem with this, like I said, is that if I'm in that final race and I'm getting to the finish line and I don't have an awesome rating, I can't start the race over. I have to start the Grand Prix all over again. I have to go back and run the first two races again, mm-hmm. and then the third. So a burning lap's not too bad to have to restart. It just sucks traveling the same track over and over and over again trying to get it. But boy, you learn.
Yeah.
You learn that track.
You get familiar with it real quick.
Boy, you do.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's been Burnout Takedown, Burnout 3 Takedown, and Burnout Revenge. I've been enjoying those a lot. And I did play. I pulled this up here. Let me see my activity. I don't want other people's activity. I want my activity. Let's see what I've been doing. Mm-hmm. It's not much. Maybe it'll say on my profile. Does my profile tell me what games I've played recently? Because I really need to. Oh, there we go. View all recently played. That's what I want. Okay, not much. Frostpunk 2, Marvel Snap, and a new game called Tiny Glaive. It is a very sort of sit back and relax and build.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. It is all about building. And looking at the Reddit for this game, the subreddit for this game, to see what people have built is really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at the Steam page for it, and it's just fantastic with what people have built. Oh, it looks good. Can't wait to be that kind of into it, to be able to build some of the stuff they're showing. But it's really intuitive as far as how it works. You want to build a house, you plop a house down. Do you want that house to have a taller roof? Well, then stretch the roof out, and it does all the stuff for you. You're not worried about, you know, aesthetics, like, oh, that roof is too big for this. No, it reshapes the building so that the roof works for the way that you have it done. So if you want the roof to look like this, then your base is going to look like this. If you want a tower, you can put a tower. If you want a mini tower, you can put a mini tower. You can do all these different things with it. You can build a fence. You can build a pond. You can change the sunlight to night. You can change the color of the lamps. You can do all these different things.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. There's no real objective other than build. Like, when you start the game, that's it. Here you go. Everything's unlocked. You can do whatever you want. You can build anything you want. And it's just building. That's it. That is simply all it is.
And the name of it again is?
Tiny Glaive.
Tiny Glaive.
It is a small I'm going to read the description on Steam. Mm-hmm. A small diorama builder where you doodle whimsical castles, cozy cottages, and romantic ruins. Explore gridless building chemistry as the game adorns your glades with procedural detail. No management, combat, or goals. Just kick back and turn forgotten meadows into lovable dioramas. Has an overwhelmingly positive rating after about 4,100 reviews. And just seriously, some...
Yeah, so just let's make the world... Let's make the gaming's best building creator.
I mean, it's nice. There's another one that I played, Summer House, that was like this. Not necessarily. It was more of, whereas Tiny Glaive is 3D, so I can rotate the land, I can look from behind, I can look at that. Summer House is strictly 2D.
Mm-hmm.
And you put up a storefront, you can change different things, and it's all strictly 2D on a like a sidewalk type thing. Mm-hmm. And you can build that way. But man, it is I'm going through, let's see, yeah, there we go. I was looking for the subreddit so I can show you, or at least post that in the thing so you could see some of the things these people have been able to build with this game. And you can look it up. You can Google Tiny Glade, and you can see what people have built with it. But man, here, I'll just post this, and you guys can go look through it. There was a demo for it, and there may still exist a demo for it. I already closed Steam out. So you could try that out, but you are locked out of certain tools in order to use to build with. A lot of these that I'm seeing in the subreddit here have a very storybook aesthetic to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh, I just realized I might be able to build the, and I bet somebody's already done it. Dracula's Castle.
Oh yeah,
from Castlevania.
Yeah,
the way it's all weird and you know, kind of
yeah, like a big castle sitting on a spike.
Uh huh.
Yeah, that type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I might be able to build something like that. I mean, I might. I also might not be able to build something like that. Mm-hmm. I might make some, but you know what's going to happen though? I'll make something else in attempting to make that.
Yeah.
That'll work for me. So yeah. Anyway, Tiny Glade looks really cool. It's on sale right now, I think, for about $12 if you're interested in it. So anyway, that's what I've been playing, and now we're getting closer to the top of the hour, and we're going to need to take a break. So when we come back, we got Sony's State of Play to go over. We also have, the Sonic Central stream took place. Hmm. So we got stuff there to talk about. What else? Yeah, Ubisoft news. And yeah, well, a lot more news headed your way coming up next. We have music here from Octopath Traveler 2. And it is the title music for it, I guess. Anyway, we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. In-Game Chat. Like I said, you're getting a lot of cozy, chill music today. Ah, yeah. This is from a game called Sunnyside. The track is called Spring Days. Just a lot of chill indie titles, basically, is what you're getting.
Ringtone worthy.
This? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
It's not great for a ringtone. I mean, it's nice and calm or whatever.
Yeah.
Has a... has like a gardening show, home to do it yourself bumper music style thing.
Okay, so not good enough, like, really.
Okay. Hey, welcome back in to This Old House. We're here to gonna tell you how to fix your whatever, you know, something like that.
Fix your dual pulse.
Yeah, I know.
Like that, yeah. What's your you got a video game ringtone?
No.
No? Okay.
I don't. I don't. I, you know, I'm not really creative with my phone. I never got into the ringtone thing. I never got into, like, I'm going to set different tones for different people and all this.
I just have one. I mean, you can get an MP3. You get it from, you know, get it from YouTube. You can put it on your phone and have it set there. I got a Unfinished Business from Skullgirls.
Mm-hmm.
That's the ringtone. And, of course, like I've said before, if you want an alarm that will make you jump up out your bed, get the drowning music from Sonic the Hedgehog,
yeah.
And put that on your phone.
No, yeah, I never did anything. Bama Bryant nailed it. Sounds like Bob Ross music. Exactly what that sounded like. Bob Ross, welcome back to the joys of painting.
Was he still dominating Twitch?
He very well could be.
Yeah,
I don't know. He very well could be still doing the Twitch thing. Doesn't matter to me. He's like, if I want to go to sleep, Bob Ross. Like if I need guaranteed sleep to where I'm just, that's it. Bob Ross is going to do it for me.
Yeah.
Just knock me out.
Yeah, I don't need melatonin. Just give me Bob Ross.
He is melatonin in voice. Yeah. Like his voice is melatonin to my ears. So, yeah. Anyway, welcome back to the show. What was I going to say? I have forgotten.
News.
Anyway, we're just going to jump into the news. Yeah, exactly. I can't remember what it was going to be. Let's start with, I think we got the Sonic Central stream happened first, and I have no idea what this thing, I haven't even looked through it. It may be completely, you know, nothing but crap. Let's see.
Looks like it's just a little update on all the projects.
Update on the mobile game. Yeah. What else do we get? There's going to be an 8-episode animated series that follows Sonic as he visits
Chao.
I know, but they're the Chaos. Isn't that what that is? Or no?
I can just call them Chao.
Okay. Chao
little,
Garden.
Little pets that you got to take care of, yeah.
There's that. What else did we get? Super Monkey Ball Banana Rumble is going to get Sonic-themed cosmetics. Lego Sonic? Okay. We're going to get some Lego Sonic or Sonic Lego packages. All right. Mm-hmm. That's cool. What else we got? Top Golf. A gamified driving range is adding a digital golf game based on Sonic in locations. So you got that for your Sonic games. Batman Day, we got a nice intro of Batman, but it turned out to be Shadow dressed as Batman, I guess. So good job. We got the story trailer for Sonic Shadow Generations. And the lead-up to Sonic Shadow Generations, Sega's going to be rolling out what's called Dark Beginnings, which is an animated mini-series. It's a 3-episode animated series that sort of leads into Sonic Shadow Generations. And the first episode was released on September 25th. The second and third follow on October 3rd and October 10th. So there you go. That was everything that we got, I think, from... what else do we get? They put together a retro commercial for a journal that would be packaged in day one physical copies of Sonic and Shadow Generations. It's an art book that documents the creation of Shadow from the perspective. Okay, so it's an in-game art book that documents the creation of Shadow from the perspective of the doctor who created him, Eggman's grandfather and mastermind, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, okay.
That's collectible. Yeah.
Just I'm sure it is. And that's about it. Yeah, we didn't get much in the way of anything on Sonic 3, the film. They just got a short hype piece with creators for the film talking about how excited they are for the movie to premiere on December 20th. And I think that is all we got for the Sonic stuff. Okay, we're sitting there talking about. Let's move on to PlayStation. PlayStation. All right. I will admit, when I was watching this, I was mostly bored. They showed off Astrobot and said, you know, there's going to be an update that they're going to have, which is going to put in Stellar Blade characters and Helldivers and all that stuff for Astrobot. That's great. I'll be there. It's free DLC. So it's wonderful. I'll have it whenever it releases. No big deal there. The Midnight Walk. That was another thing that was shown off. It was a stop-motion style horror game from Moonhood Studios, the developers who made Lost in Random. If you haven't tried out Lost in Random, it used to be on Game Pass. It may not be now, but that Lost in Random is not bad at all. Anyway, Midnight Walk is clay-based, you know, where everything's made out of clay and stop-motion animated. They showed off gameplay. Looked amazing. Looked beautiful. And then as a nice little stinger at the end, they, you know, said, hey, it's coming soon. And then the light kind of lifted up on whatever it was that was behind the coming soon sort of thing. And what you realized you were looking at was not just something in the game, but was something that was actually built and modeled. You saw the physical representation of what they were doing. And so this is all handmade, hand animated. And yeah, that really grabs my attention just to see what else they can do. Beautiful looking game. We got a trailer for a gameplay reveal for a game called Hell Is Us, a science fiction Souls-like. And it didn't pull me. Metro Awakening for VR, again, didn't pull me. Arcade Chronicles is fantasy action game that looks like a real tough, fast-paced challenge, but it'll also include multiplayer to bring friends along for some of the fights. Again, it didn't hold for me. I was just like, meh. I'll see more, but that's just not a game that I might be into. The launch trailer for Pal World, which is now out on PlayStation 5, meanwhile trying to deal with a lawsuit from Nintendo. So there is that. What else did they show off? Lunar Remastered Collection. Not me.
Yeah.
You interested?
JRPG collection has a really popular following, but that's not the type of style play I'm into, really.
It includes both Lunar the Silver Star Story Complete and Lunar Eternal Blue Complete with updated visuals and widescreen mode. So hooray for everybody that's interested in that, and is that's on their list, but no, wasn't there for me. We got the Radical Reptiles update for DLC, I guess, for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge.
Yeah, I've already picked that up, so yeah.
Yeah. What is that DLC? It doesn't say. Oh, no, it's already available. Yeah. So that's out now. Oh, we got Sonic X Shadow Generations exclusive new Shadow gameplay, which revealed that Keanu Reeves is doing the voice for Shadow in the game, as well as doing the voice for Shadow in the film. Oh, I see. He's doing he's doing the voice of the character that will appear in levels that are based on the film in the game. It's an update that is coming in December. Probably a small amount, but because they're based on the film, they're doing that tie-in. There you go.
Yeah.
This is a thing where the movie releases much later than what video game companies would like for a tie-in. Like, movies releasing in December, that's fine. You got a lot of people who go into the family movies for the Christmas and everything else. Mm-hmm. Games don't sell in December. Games sell earlier. So that when December rolls around, people are playing your games or opening your game for Christmas, which is why Sonic has to release when he does in October. I'm actually really interested in that Sonic Shadow game. I'm kind of interested in that.
Yeah.
So yeah. What else did we get? Fantasian?
Fantasian Neo Dimension.
Yeah. It's another Japanese RPG that's not in my wheelhouse.
Not in your wheelhouse, yeah.
But if people like it, I'm glad it's there for them, you know? If that's good, that's for those people. Dragon Age The Veil Guard. The game launches on Halloween. And again, I am interested after hearing all the hype about how this is a return to form for BioWare. Again, I'm going to wait and see on it because I'd rather other people play it and really kind of get the idea of what this is before I jump into it. But
yeah.
Because I don't want to just go off a couple of reports from gaming publishers. I'd really like to see what the public at large seems to enjoy about it. And I just, you know, the more opinions you have, the better you can make a decision.
Yep.
You know, the better you can feel about whatever you decide to do.
Watch a few Let's Plays on YouTube.
Easily. Yeah. The DLC or expansion stuff for Alan Wake 2, the Lake House expansion, it's going to be coming in October. I have not started playing that game. I bought it on a sale, Alan Wake 2, on Epic Game Store, and I have not done anything with it. Oh, my eyeballs.
I may have gotten it. Trying to remember, did I get it free with something or...
I don't know what it would have been unless you bought a graphics card or something.
Part or something.
Yeah. So. That's the only thing I could think of.
Yeah, because I was building, getting parts for my computers a while back. So, yeah, it may have been something like that.
We went back to PlayStation VR with Hitman, World of Assassination. Good for those. Hey, then we got our remaster of Soul Reaver 1 and 2. Legacy of Kain, Soul Reaver 1 and 2 Remastered are being released on December 10th. It'll be on PlayStation 4. It'll be on PlayStation 5. It'll also be on Xbox. It'll also be on PC as well.
Mm-hmm.
So the game is going to get... Now, listen, just do the entire Legacy of Kain series. I'm telling you, do Blood Omen and Blood Omen 2 and Defiance. You did two. You did the Soul Reaver series. Now just go back and do the others. I would love to have Blood Omen 1. Blood Omen 2, I'm like, I liked it, but you could remove Blood Omen 2 completely from the
collection.
Yeah, from the Azrael and Kain series, and you'd be fine. But Blood Omen, Soul Reaver 1 and 2, Defiance. We need those. We really need those. And I'm so glad that we're getting these remasters.
Well, depending on how well 1 and 2 sells, they might just do that. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, it's by the same company that did the Tomb Raider remasters, Tomb Raider 1, 2, and 3.
Okay.
The first. And those did very, very well. And I'm looking forward to hoping, you know, that the same thing can be said for Soul Reaver. It is one of my favorite series of games. It is the first Amy Hennig game I ever played, because she worked on both of these games, and I think she also worked on Defiance. I can't remember, but she worked on both of these, was the director for them, writer for them, and really good series of games. Really good series of games. So really looking forward to that. Was happy to see that. It was a bright spot in the whole of, you know, Japanese RPG, not interested, not interested, not interested. VR, not interested, not interested.
It was a bright spot in a in an overall lack.
I mean, yeah,
thing.
I just, yeah. It wasn't holding me. Fear the Spotlight, they showed a release date reveal. This is another game that is, it's from Blumhouse Productions, the guys that do the horror stuff. And it showed off at Summer Game Fest, but it's also coming to PlayStation 4 and PS5 on October 22nd. But it'll also be out on PC and Xbox on that date as well. So it's not exclusive to PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
Towers of Agasba, if I'm right. It's an island-building game coming to early access in November. And we'll see how that goes. I like my builders, and we'll just see how that plays out. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But early access, I'm not a fan of. I like that early access exists. I like that we have those sections on Steam of early access games for people to buy into and play and then give their feedback so that, you know, the game can be updated. My problem with that is, depending on the type of game, and I've said this before, it's really tough for me to play your early access title knowing that it's not finished. That the final thing I get is going to be, let's say you released your game and it's only got like the first five levels. It's only got about 2 or 3 hours of content in it. And you get through those 2 or 3 hours of content, and you play those 2 or 3 hours of content over again to try some new stuff. Maybe they've updated. Well, then they finally release the game. And maybe they're going to say that your progress starts wherever you started. You know, if you've got five levels in, then you start at level five, and you're going to keep going through that. Oh, but by the way, we've changed a mechanic that really would have been helpful in those earlier levels that you played through. Mm-hmm. And there's access to different things, and there's all this other. So you probably want to do a full, you know, you probably want to start over again. Man, I don't want to do that. I say that mostly because I've never really bought into an early access game where I've played it while it's been early access. I've waited for it to release. Because in my mind, I'm telling you, I don't want to do that again. Mm-hmm. It's like a burning lap. I don't want to go through that again. Don't let me go through it again. But who knows? I don't know. I've never experienced an early access game. Mm-hmm. I've never tried to. That I can think of. I could be wrong on that. But yeah, that's just my thing on early access titles. They showed off a controller for Fortnite, a DualSense controller that is Fortnite branded. Yay.
Yeah, folks can custom those things anyway, so yeah.
Oh, good. It's another JRPG, Dynasty Warriors Origins, coming out in January.
Dynasty Warriors?
Yeah. I don't know that that's a JRPG.
No, I think that's the Me Against the World type.
It is. It's like, how many people can we put on screen at one time? But still not something that pulls me in.
Yeah.
It did went back when that was your selling point for your console.
Yeah.
Because it was the first time we'd seen it. Where I say it was the first time. It was the first time I had. I remember the 360 was touting Dynasty Warriors and Cameo.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to put all these things on screen. You're just going to see so much of this stuff on screen as you're playing the game. And I was just like, that's great. I enjoyed it. I like Cameo, but no, I'm not a Dynasty Warriors guy.
No, from looking at it, yeah, it's basically or the same with some cutscenes.
Yeah.
It's you against 300 to 3,000 people in a mission. So yeah, have at it.
We got the release date reveal trailer for Monster Hunter Wilds on this State of Play. Comes out February the 28th. It's not my thing. I've tried Monster Hunter and I'm just
it's just one of those games to me, like better with friends.
Yeah.
Because I've tried it solo and it gets hunting gets really tedious after a while.
Absolutely better with friends. What else we got? Horizon Adventures. We got the pre-order trailer. That is Horizon Zero Dawn. Well, it's Horizon, but it's Lego Horizon Adventures. The cool thing about this was not necessarily the Lego Horizon thing. It was the announcement of Horizon Zero Dawn Remastered. We talked about this.
Yeah,
we knew it was coming.
Yeah, but it felt early.
Seemingly felt early. However, we didn't know the depth at which they went for this remaster. Mm. And they went through a lot on this remaster. They redid mocap for this remaster. Like, they got actors back in and redid mocapping sessions.
Yep. Fine.
But yeah. It's,
but the date.
Oh, I know.
Still,
I know.
It's still early, man.
The odd thing is, I never played Horizon Forbidden West, where they used a different engine for Horizon Forbidden West.
Yeah.
And they've taken the engine of Horizon Zero Dawn and they've sort of chopped it up and had it work with the engine of Forbidden West.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're getting is the aesthetics, everything that was brought in with Forbidden West is getting moved into Zero Dawn. So it's more of a at least with the remaster, it doesn't feel like you're going... What's a better way to put it? Remember in Star Wars, the first film or the first trilogy is released.
Yeah.
Then you get the second trilogy years and years later. But it's supposed to be a prequel to those things, right?
Right.
But yet it looks way better.
Yeah.
Than anything else that came before it, because obviously it's
better.
It's more recent. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's my point with this, is that, and obviously you can't do it in a film without remaking the films, but they've remastered Horizon Zero Dawn to put it more in line with the visuals, the aesthetics of what Forbidden West offers.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is, I've gone through and I've looked at the list of different things that they've done, the mocap differences. There's no gameplay mechanic differences, which I hear is kind of bad, because a lot of people are like, man, I don't want to go back to the first one because there's so many improvements to the second one that are not in the first game.
Mm-hmm.
Her ability to glide or fly or whatever it is that makes traversal easier, not in the first game.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily for me, I haven't played the second game.
Yeah.
So I can go back to this one, and I do plan to do that. It is a $10 upgrade if you own the original. And so if you do have that, and recently I just bought the original for $10 on PC. There was a sale going on just a few weeks ago, and I picked it up.
Mm-hmm.
And so now all I got to do is pay $10 and get the remastered version. I already have it on PS5, so again, I could put some $10 there and play it on PS5 if I want to. But I'll probably go through with the PC version first. But yeah, I was rather thrilled to see that. I agree that it's probably not time for that. And they took 2 years to work on this. They were working on this for 2 years. They were working on think about that.
Yeah.
It is 2024, so they worked on this for 2024, 2023. So they probably started working on this around 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Which is even closer to when the original game released than it is now. So imagine that, where they're saying, listen, we're going to go back and remaster this game that you already worked on, that we already released back in 2016.
February 28th, 2017.
2017
was when the original Horizon Zero Dawn released. 5 years.
Yeah, 5 years, and they're like, hey, we're going to remaster it.
Remaster.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, anyway, they've gone through, there's a whole list of things that they've gone through and done. To remaster this. And at first I thought, yeah, it's just a cash grab, but thinking back on it...
We saw that before with Last of Us.
Yeah.
That was just straight crash.
I almost feel like you're...
Cash grab.
Yeah. I almost feel like that's all it was tying into a really popular game that was getting a lot of popularity going on with it, and, I don't know, just felt like it was strike while the iron's hot type of thing for them, and so they did. Stellar Blade is getting some Nier Automata DLC and some updates along with it. That's which we don't know when that's going to be. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they also added a photo mode to Stellar Blade, which was available now.
Photo mode, soundtrack.
Yeah. And the soundtrack too. And later this year, apparently, we're getting the crossover.
Mm-hmm.
The other games. What is this? We got a few updates on PlayStation Plus. Get the Dead Space remake if you're on some of the Doki Doki Literature Club and WWE 2K24. The Classic Collection's getting Blood Omen, Legacy of Kain, and Dino Crisis. Last of Us Part 1 is joining the PlayStation Plus game catalog. It happened earlier this week to commemorate the Last of Us Day, so there is that. I'm still thinking about upping my subscription to... I've got all these years built of PlayStation Plus.
Yeah.
Basic.
Essential. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm thinking of upgrading to the other one, which I think is a one-time payment of this, and it'll last the entire, ever how much longer I've got left in my subscription service, which goes to like 2026.
Are you good?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
Got new colors for the PlayStation with the, new things for the controllers, new things for the console itself.
Yeah, blue, white, and teal.
Yeah.
Yep.
Then they talked about... No red.
No red. Yeah.
Then they talked about the PlayStation 5 Pro and a list of games that were getting upgraded to use the tech of the PlayStation 5 Pro. And then finally, the big one was the reveal of Ghost of Yoti. Is
Yote.
That Yote?
Yeah.
Thank you. Much easier to pronounce than Tsushima. Yote?
And yet you said that better.
I know. Than I've ever.
Practice. Yeah. You've had practice.
I've had a lot of practice. Years and years of practice. And I'll probably. Yote? Is that what it was?
Yote.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're getting more Ghost of Yote from Sucker Punch. It is scheduled to come out next year. And that's about all we know. I don't think next year will be a date that they hit. You get to play as a samurai woman named Atsu, I believe, a new protagonist. Mm-hmm. And a wolf is involved in some way. But that's about all we know so far. Mm-hmm. But I am interested in seeing. Oh, gosh. It's really going to look nice. This will be. I forget that Tsushima was PlayStation 4.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it had the director's cut and everything else that released on PlayStation 5, I forget that the game originally was a PlayStation 4-built game.
Yeah.
So coming in with a PlayStation 5 and a PlayStation 5 Pro-built game I just can't imagine how beautiful that's going to look. The first game was just unbelievably gorgeous.
Well, in my opinion, I expect it to be. You're on a more powerful system. You got more tools to work with.
Yeah.
I'm expecting you to have a very...
And by the way, that trailer, I don't necessarily know if we saw any gameplay in that trailer. I have to go back and look at it again.
Doubt it.
I can't
at
remember.
At this point, I doubt it.
Well, that's also something else. For a sequel like this, you don't necessarily need to show gameplay because, well...
You know what you're getting.
You know what you're getting, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'm okay with the not showing gameplay. It's an announcement trailer, so, you know, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, that's what we got for PlayStation State of Play. I was, for the most part, unimpressed with everything I saw. You know what I'm saying? It was a whole lot of one or two things I was interested in, and a lot less of, more stuff I wasn't interested in than stuff I was.
So, what, 80-20?
Ooh, I'd go lower than that.
Oh.
Yeah, I would give 90, it a...
90-10?
What do you... Wait.
90% uninteresting, 10% interesting.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. I see where you're going that way. I thought you were saying, how would I score it?
Yeah.
And I'm
sorry. I should have explained that. Yeah. 80% uninteresting, 20% interesting, that type of thing.
Right.
Out of the whole performance.
I thought it was like 80% you liked it and 20% you didn't. And I was like, no, I'd go much lower than that. I liked only about, God, if I were to go back through, I think it would be half or lower of everything. Like if I took every single game announcement in there and said, well, they showed us 12, but I only liked about 6, you know?
Okay, yeah.
It felt like it was only about half of what they showed off. I had no interest in the controllers, the colors, the PlayStation 5 Pro updates. I had no interest in any of the Japanese RPG type stuff or any of that. So all of that's off the table. The Monster Hunter, the Dynasty Warriors, the Lunar thing, all of that was just off the table for me.
Yeah.
Basically, what stuck out for me was
Soul Reaver.
Soul Reaver was one. Midnight Walk was the other.
Yeah.
Horizon update. Ghost announcement. I'll throw in Astrobot, even though it's already released. But it was something that was shown, so I'll throw in Astrobot. So that gives you about 5 out of ever how many, maybe, but just wasn't much for me.
Yeah.
So, so that's what we got. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll hit the rest of the news that we've got lined up for you. This is another one of those chill games. It's an indie game. It's called Kameru. And I could be mispronouncing that, as you know. Kameru, a Frog Refuge. It's the opening title for the game. And it's exactly what it says it is. It's a refuge for frogs. Just collect a bunch of frogs and, you know, keep them happy. Anyway, we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. ¶¶
This has that noir feel, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Welcome back to In-Game Chat. This is music from, well, the name of the track is called Mornin', and it's Mornin', not with a G on it, just Mornin'.
Not good morning. It's funeral.
No, it's Mornin', but Mornin'.
Mornin'.
Yeah.
I thought it meant morning. Like,
no, not funeral morning.
Sound
but,
like it.
But they left the G off. It's right. Not. It's Mornin' Jazz is what it's called.
Mornin' Jazz.
Mornin' Jazz. This is from a game called Fallen Aces.
Okay. If that's not the name of a radio program, Mornin' Jazz.
Mornin' Jazz. It's not bad.
A WJZZ.
Yeah. Anyway, welcome back to the show. Fallen Aces is one I think that's probably on my wish list. But I'm not sure if I have it on my wish list or not. I see it crop up every now and again with
Fallen Aces. Okay.
Sales and stuff. Mm.
Crime Noir.
Yeah.
NPS. I mean, plays right out of the 90s. Looks like it's out of the comics. Okay.
So, yeah. That's what that is. God, what else did we get? We got a lot of other little things here and there. So, Frostpunk 2 hit 350,000 copies sold. Which means that the dev is broke even.
Yeah.
They were able to break even on that. 11-Bit Studios said its self-published city-building survival sequel has already sold a bunch since going on sale September 20th. What's more, revenue made from the game so far is already enough to cover the cost of development as well as marketing. The total estimated sale revenue has already covered the cost we spent on producing and marketing the game. Big, big thank you to you all for your support. It almost melts our frozen solid hearts. Yeah, good job. However, the Polish video game maker's share price collapsed following the launch of Frostpunk 2. It was reported there was a fall of 38% on September 23rd, with analysts saying the number of players on Steam failed to meet expectations. Over the past five-day period, the share price has fallen 50% at the time of that article's publication. Frostpunk 2 has so far peaked with 35,533 concurrent players on Steam. That's higher than Frostpunk 1's Steam concurrent peak of 29,000, which was set 6 years ago. It's also worth noting that Frostpunk 2 launched straight into PC Game Pass at the same time as Steam. So they have received a free, they will have received a fee from Microsoft for its inclusion. So yeah. Still, that doesn't appear to have satisfied the market. We expected a significantly higher player peak in the 80 to 100,000 range, so we consider 35,500 as a negative surprise. Adding that relatively poor ratings may also affect the purchasing decision of players who have Frostpunk 2 on their wish list. A drop in the average rating below the 80% threshold affects the game's visibility on Steam, which could translate into sales. Frostpunk 2 currently has a Steam user rating of 71%, which is enough to earn the mostly positive rating. We were maybe counting on slightly higher scores, but this negative sentiment or disappointment among players is due to the fact that it's not simply a sequel to Frostpunk 1, but Frostpunk 2, maybe we didn't articulate enough that it's not a clone, that it's not a simple sequel, but a different game. We, as a product, feel very good about it. We have implemented the plan, our internal goals when it comes to the quality of the game. The sales in this period around the premiere are also as we expected. The review from IGN, which is where this article comes from, had an 8 out of 10. IGN saying, thanks to a ground-up rethinking of its Ice Age city builder mechanics, Frostpunk 2's larger scale is less intimate, but more socially and politically complex than the original. And if you like that, that's great. I never played Frostpunk 1. I own it, but I never played it. And Josh was in there while I was doing the stream telling me about how, you know, this is different than what I'm used to in Frostpunk 1, and how it was, you know, more personal, I think, is the way he said it. Maybe there was some way to make it personal. And I guess they're taking that out of this. I'm not sure because I don't know. So what else do we have? Yep. Oh, Ghost of Yote?
Yeah.
Got it. Good. that is a story that is set 300 years after the original.
Yeah. Yeah, my initial thoughts on that was like, dang, you set it up for a nice sequel to have Jin's story continue.
Oh, okay.
Now it's brand new protagonist.
And it's way, okay. way away from whatever.
So from what the description was, there is no reason or possibility for Jin to show up again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta have a new protagonist.
But
the thing about it is this gonna be the same way that Last of Us 2 went? Because for me, the same way. The bread and butter for me was the story between Joel and Ellie.
Mm-hmm.
And The Last of Us 2, I could probably say, don't worry about spoilers, Joel
is not
factor.
In there, yeah.
It's not really a factor in the game. It's just Ellie.
Yeah.
And that's not, I can see the possibility of that, but it's not the wheelhouse for me. I prefer the interaction between Joel and Ellie. Like it was
right.
in Last of Us 1.
You get some of those parts in Last of Us 2 with like flashbacks, and that, you know, those occur every now and again.
Yeah.
But it's not like it was in the first. Although there is that flashback where they go to the museum,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, they get in the space thing, and I really. That part was just fantastic, the way they did that in there. If you did that, and you didn't have to, but if you did it, it was I really, really enjoyed that part. But I get what you're saying. It was few and far between compared to the first game, easily.
Yeah. But in Ghost of Yote, we're going to get a completely new protagonist, and we're going to see how it turns out.
Yeah.
But I was looking. I was for a sequel to Ghost of Tsushima. I would look forward to a continuation of Jin's story.
Right, which I have not finished or played, so I don't know exactly how his story ends or how that whole story goes.
Yeah.
Which I haven't gotten into yet. I do plan to, because I did pick it up on PC.
Mm-hmm.
So I do have it now on PC. I had it on PlayStation 5, but I want it on PC.
Yeah.
I had it on PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
Which you could play backwards compatible on PlayStation 5. But yeah, see how that goes. Oh, what else do we have? Yeah, we talked about Assassin's Creed Shadows being delayed to February 2025. That's a big jump. What else do we have? Oh, we got new VR stuff. The Zuck announced a new headset for the Quest, the MetaQuest 3S. The S stands for smaller, but still expensive. It's a cheaper Quest 3 coming out next month. It's called the Quest 3S, and it comes with many of the same features as the Quest 3, including the same processor, but shaves some pennies with cheaper lenses. The new Quest 3S is available in two models, both are releasing on October 15th. The cheapest comes with 128 gigs of storage for $300, which is $200 off the price of the regular Quest 3. However, if you want a bit more space, the 256-gigabyte model runs for $400. Right out of the gate, he announced the brand-new VR headset at the keynote, said the device has the same defining features as Quest 3, even the same processor. It means it's compatible with the same apps and experiences as the Quest 3, even the XR stuff. We optimized the whole system a lot. The main change is a loss of pancake lenses in favor of more traditional Fresnels, whatever that is. Might make a difference to the field of view, the comfort of the headset, or how the VR experience looks once it's on your head. But if it's pretty close to the standard Quest 3 design, it might not be a bad sacrifice. Nobody's really been given a moral to say whether or not. He called up his friend Kenny, who attempted to show off some new VR XR experiences. However, that did not work out, and the demo crashed. So, yep.
On stage tech demo.
Yeah. This article that was written up by PC Gamer says, to be fair, it wasn't as awkward as it sounds. I've seen much worse technical mishaps in E3 than I have from this. So, I agree.
I don't know why, but this reminds me of the scene in Grand Theft Auto 5 where they try to do that tech thing.
Yeah.
And That would be the worst tech demo of all time, I know, still.
I'm curious how it's going to shape up. Getting a new headset is not necessarily on my big priority list. A new VR headset is not big on my list of things.
Yeah.
However, the more they advance these things, the better it's going to be. Oh, okay. The Quest 3S will drop in where the Quest 2 currently sits. Hit that button. Man, that was complete.
Just in case.
Yeah. I'm not sure how that came off. I tell you, I knew one day my mispronunciation was going to bite me.
Yeah.
And I think that was today, but it was completely wrong. Quest 2 currently sits, which all but kills off that headset, even as a budget option, which Quest 2 is exactly what I have. Bam O'Brien says Fresnel lenses have concentric lenses grounded into them. I don't know what that means, but yeah. Anyway.
Grounded in?
Yeah, that's what he says. I don't know what that means. Going back to the article here, he says Quest 2 is being replaced. It means we might have to change our recommendation for the best budget headset soon. I hope so, providing the Quest 3S also makes a mean PC VR headset, and it may very well. So, always interested. VR, in the Quest realm of VR, I am very interested. They really simplified VR with that. They really got it to where price point was good. It's a little bit worse now with this, but price point is good. And the no wires thing, the implementation to just be portable, take it with you, make your own VR room wherever you go. All you need is this headset. Mm. You don't need anything else. Headset and controllers, you're good. And even some of these, you don't need the controllers. They have hand recognition, so you can just, you know, point at whatever it is you want, and it'll recognize that that's what you're wanting to do. So we'll see how that plays out. Oh, goodness. I'm not going to have time to hit all of these things that I wanted to. Ubisoft going back to Steam now. What else did I have? Xbox had a Tokyo Game Show thing, and there were announcements, but we're not going to be able to get to those. I will ding PlayStation a little bit because for the longest time, Horizon Zero Dawn digitally has been available for $20 or sometimes less when it's on sale.
Yeah.
After this announcement of the remaster, that price doubled. It's now a $40 game online if you want to buy it.
Huh.
And that is...
Shades of Heavenly Sword?
Shades of being... Another word I want to say that I can't because I got to let this thing build back up.
FCC.
That's a horrible thing. Look... And the problem with it is that they didn't do it immediately. They did it a few days after, probably when they saw sales start ticking up of this.
Yeah.
So they bumped that back up to regular price, which they did. Why?
Sony needs the money?
Maybe.
All the losses they've been taking lately?
But God, that was rude. It's the best way I can put it, man. It's really bad.
Yeah.
Man, don't do that.
Too late.
Also, and again, we only got 4 minutes left. I'm gonna save the Xbox Tokyo Game Show stuff because I'm not sure about it. I also wanted to save an article about somebody at GameStop who actually had some time with the PS5 Pro. And the headline of the article says this: "My time with the PS5 Pro reaffirmed I shouldn't spend $700 right now. My base PS5 is still enough." That headline is at GameStop, GameSpot, excuse me. That headline is at GameSpot. Go read that article. Do a search for it. GameSpot PS5. Search that, and you should be able to find the article, and you can read it. Please read it. I haven't, but please read it. The headline intrigues me, and if you have any interest in that console, read that article. Not to see if you're going to buy it or not, but just exactly what he says there. And then the other thing I'm going to save is... Oh, no, the other thing that I wanted to get to, and it won't take long since we're almost done here. EA is shutting down the Simpsons mobile game called Tapped Out. Thing's been around for 12 years. It is the first game that I purchased like, I say purchased, it was free, but it's the first game that I really put time into on a mobile device. Mm-hmm. Again, it was kind of a city builder. You built the town of Springfield. You got new characters. You did new quests. You did these little things. Money was involved, although I didn't buy anything in the game, but you could, you know, when you built a building, it was going to take 24 hours, but you could pay and it'd be completed immediately. I didn't do any of that, but I built my own Springfield, and I went through a few years of doing that, and finally I stopped. I didn't know it was still going on, but now they are closing it down in January of next year, and I'm a little sad about it.
Yeah.
I feel like if this ever had gotten a PC release, like Fallout Shelter, mm-hmm. I'd have been all over it. I'd have been all over it. Anyway, that's going to wrap it up. We got to go. I hope you guys have a great week. We're going to be back next week. We're going to be doing all our spooky music theme stuff and everything else. So it's going to be a great time. Please join us next Saturday. Have a fantastic week. I'm leaving you here with music from the Talos Principle 2. It's the DLC, Road to Elysium. I do not know which track this is, because I had to download the entire soundtrack just to get one track off of it. So here is that, and we will see you next Saturday. RJ, hope you're feeling better.
I hope so.
I know you feel fine. It's just you're clogged up.
Yeah.
Because of sinuses and stuff. Yeah. So we will see you next Saturday. Have a great one, guys. Bye.